And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, December 27th, 2012. I'm Doug Hagman. I'm the co-host along with my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. And folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of unbiased, uncensored news analysis and information that we all need to know. We need to get together. We need to group together. We need to play our positions as the opening salvo of what appears to be the beginning of a civil war is about to start. And I don't say that lightly. Folks, in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Joe. Actually, I have Joe taking care of a project for me. So if you hear some noise in the background, that sounds like somebody's hammering something. That's him. It's actually a small little project here in the studio I'm all thumbs, and he's not. So, anyway, folks, we broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on the Internet at HomelandSecurityUS.com, and, of course, I'm a contributor to CanadaFreePress.com, our wonderful, wonderful colleagues to our north, perhaps the sole bastion of truth to the north outside of the United States. I want to thank Judy, Brian, and Kiko for all that they do to bring the truth to you folks in these perilous times. We'll be taking your calls in the second half of the show. You can join the conversation at 661-244-9839. That's 661-244-9839. And again, we'll be doing that the second half of the show. I just want to let you know I was a guest on Alex Jones' radio program today, InfoWars. I think it was the last segment, the last half hour, last 35 minutes of the program today. It might have been the next to the last, I'm not sure. But I will be a guest tomorrow with Mike Adams and Alex Jones on InfoWars beginning at 2:45 Eastern Time. Yeah, it's 2:45 Eastern Time on InfoWars, the radio show. And today we are talking about the Civil War. We are talking about the gun confiscation. We're talking about the information from my DHS contact and how back in May of this year, my DHS contact had shared information with me that if you go to the Drudge Report tonight, it's right there. So from May 8th, 2012, if you go to CanadaFreePress.com, that's CanadaFreePress.com, if you go there tonight and you look at the top story there on the cover, and I want to thank them I want to thank Judy for putting this up and for writing about it. I didn't ask her to, but she did. And of that, I'm very humbled and thankful for that. But Judy points out that it was on May 8th of 2012 that the story appeared on Canada Free Press first, before anywhere else. That mentioned that we are in for that the feds were preparing for a civil war. And isn't that funny that the headline on Drudge earlier today was Civil War? And of course, if you go to CanadaFreePress.com, what I'd like everyone to do listening to this, if you would, please visit CanadaFreePress.com. Click on the full story and share that in your social media circles. Now, I'm not pimping for the story. I'm not pimping an article. And I'm sorry if that word is offensive. I don't know what other word to use. I'm not trying to exploit I'm not trying to exploit me as a messenger. What I am trying to do is get the message out. And that message in this moment in time, at this moment in time, is extremely important. Because, folks, I don't think we have that much time left. I don't believe we have that much time left. And Joe and I were talking about this before the show. And Alex Jones was talking about this, too. And Alex Jones knows Jesus Christ. Alex Jones knows the spiritual aspect of this warfare. Don't for a minute think he doesn't. He does. And that's, praise God for that. But one of the things that caught my attention, out of all the smoke, all the mirrors, all the magic tricks that we're seeing, is the one thing that's so important, folks. And we open our program with this. Well, actually, we open the second hour or third hour, depending on the rotation. You want the truth, you can't handle the truth. Well, you know what? We're adults here, and we can handle the truth. Not only can we handle the truth, we expect the truth. But we haven't gotten truth out of the federal government for years, for decades. I dare say for a generation, we haven't gotten the truth out of the federal government. And that should trouble everyone. Because right now, there are a couple of different kinds of people that occupy America. And when I say occupy America, that word is intentional. Because America is an occupied country. America is a captured operation at this point. And for the military people out there and paramilitary people out there, you know what I'm referring to when I say captured operation. We are actually working, the patriots, the people who believe in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, the people who believe in personal freedom, the person who believe that we are a Judeo-Christian country, a country founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, has given us that, the rights bestowed upon us as delineated in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We know that we are operating behind enemy lines. It's no longer up for discussion. The masks are coming off of the people. And we're finding, and I think everyone is finding, that what we thought were two parties were one party. What we thought were Democrats and Republicans are just them, the elite. And you look at for example, the fiscal cliff, the financial, the economic problems, and here's the thing. The appearance, the magic deck is this. It appears that they're fighting against one another. Boehner and company and Obama and company. But at the end of the day, they're having a beer. They're sitting back and having coffee and talking and slapping each other in the back and playing golf and drinking their cognac. And you know, that is what people need to understand. That we are the resistance, as Alex would say, but we are in occupied territory. And you know, I was thinking today about this frenzy of everyone's buying assault weapons, or what are termed these assault weapons, which in fact are not. They're tyranny resistance weapons, but everyone's buying them in a very panicked manner. And ammunition, you can't buy ammunition in these weapons anymore. There's a gun show locally here, and I asked my stepson, I said, would you call the gentleman that you know and ask what his inventory is? And earlier, this is about 4 o'clock this afternoon. And about 5 o'clock, I got a call from my stepson who said, you know, he's not sure what he can bring. He's sold out of everything. He already paid for a table months and months ago. And he can't even fill a third of the table. That's the mentality. Not just here in this part of the country, but everywhere. So, you know, what's the mentality, though? What's the root cause of that mentality? Well, it's the realization of people that the government cannot protect them. Not only that, there's a realization that, the government is a captured operation. And if it's not currently a captured operation, if you would argue that, well, we still have a representative republic and it's still working. Excuse me. If that's your argument, then okay, what happens? What would happen? Let's just say this. What would happen if there was a huge earthquake somewhere or all across the country or something that would affect our nation? And that would allow enemy forces to come in and take over our leadership. Isn't that reason enough for an armed populace? Even the most anti-gun person, isn't that enough? And you might think, well, that's what the police are for, that's what the National Guard's for. But what would happen if they can't respond in time? And certainly the police, look at the police. They're putting up, they've got signs up in Detroit. We can't protect you. We're understaffed. So isn't that reason enough for law-abiding citizens to own weapons? I mean, that's the real argument here. We're dealing with people, the anti-gun crowd, who are operating on pure emotion, and those who are not operating on pure emotion are operating under, I would say, a cloud of suspicion of seditious activity against the Constitution. But one of the goals with respect to this gun grab, with this gun situation, or this gun buyback, which is an improper term because the government didn't sell us the guns, gun dealers did. But one of the goals here is, I found pretty intriguing, and that's to transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies, to treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat, and dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose their goals, which are communist goals. And wouldn't you know it, those goals are listed in the so-called Snopes urban legend communist goals of 1958 that don't exist. But that's exactly what they're doing now. You know, when President Obama first, and I say President Obama, when Obama, the occupant of the Oval Office in the White House, first talked about having some special type of police force that would directly report to him, that really fit goal number 38 in that list of goals read into the Congressional Record in 1963. And as many of these goals seemed far-fetched and impossible back in 1958 when Mr. Skousen's book, The Naked Truth, or The Naked Communist, I'm sorry, came out, they aren't anymore. During his presidential campaign, Obama, back in 2008, said, "We cannot continue to rely on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, and just as well-funded." Well, why? Well, now, isn't that becoming clearer? Isn't that what perhaps Obama might be relying on? And see, the negative public reaction at the time to that statement caused him to fail to ever bring it up again.
And I'm sorry for jumping in the middle of your dialogue here. What statements are you referring to that he made? Because I have downloaded some audio of Obama past on guns, AK-47s. I put together a little compilation of audio clips for tonight. One being minute 17, where we're going to dissect a piece of audio where Obama says AK-47s are for soldiers, not for criminals. But in the same time and sentence that he says that, he states that he is for an individual right to bear arms. Okay?
Right.
Part two of that is, well, in this first video where he talks about AK-47s, though, are for soldiers, not for that's not part of the right to bear arms. The second part is an audio on Fast and Furious. Now, this isn't a news report. This is directly from the press secretary stating what they're doing to help Mexico with their drug cartel problem, part of which they list Project Gunwalker as part of the solutions, where they shipped AK-47s to drug cartels in Mexico that led to thousands of deaths.
Okay. What now? And we need those because at the end of what I'm stating here, that's what is going to come into play, because what I was how I was approaching this was the fact that the communist goals that were set for the takeover of America, and it's good to go over this again because people really need to really understand this. The communist goals that were set for America back in 1958, which Snopes says, oh, it's just an urban legend. Well, it's an urban legend. It's false that they found these paper goals, goals written on a piece of paper in a house in 1919. Yeah, that part's false, but actually the actual goals to take over our country from within by the communist element, that's not fiction. So I was approaching this, I was addressing the gun issue, the gun control issue, from a mental health, how they're going to approach this from a mental health standpoint. Now, at the end of this, which you brought up, is how they're going to hit this or how they're classifying these weapons. And I think these two are working in tandem with one another. And see, we have to warn the people how they're going to do this, and we have to work together to raise awareness so we can, if we can't fully stop it, we can at least put up as much of a resistance as possible. But I'll just finish real quick here, and then you can play those clips, because those are excellent clips, by the way, for you found them. It's great, and people, you need to hear them again if you've heard them before. But Obama, back in July of 2008, said that we've got to establish this national security force, this civilian police force. And again, you know, as I mentioned, he never said anything more about it, because of the negative reaction he got from the people who were paying attention and who got that chilling feeling about what's going on. But if you think about that statement, why would Obama need or feel the need for this special type of police force reporting directly to him, by the way, not to any other group? What's wrong with the local police and the county sheriffs and the state police who are already in place? We don't need this Gestapo-like network reporting directly to the president. It's just an absurdity. But see, other areas of those goals I mentioned, the communist goals, are more subtle and difficult for us to really get into. And the study of history shows that communists definitely use psychology extensively after they've taken over a country to condition the people for changes to come. And that's exactly what we're seeing here right now.
Yeah.
See, now, with that backdrop, now we can see what is taking place. They're conditioning us by fiscal cliff, by assault weapons, scary rifles, black rifles, these scary rifles.
Multi-bullet magazines.
Oh,
I heard
goodness.
On the radio today. These multi-bullet magazines have to go.
It's a matter of conditioning, and that's what they're doing to us today. So with that backdrop, go ahead. And
okay, we're gonna dissect a few. One Obama clip, one Obama advisor clip. First, Obama on the right to bear arms. This video.
And Brandy, by the way, you're exactly right. No one asked him what they meant. What do you mean? Not
yeah.
Sorry.
This first video we're going to play is Obama on AK-47, what his statements were on AK-42. The second video we are going to play is talking about Project Gunrunner and how this was part of the Obama administration's new and aggressive comprehensive plan to by distributing guns between the United States and Mexico. So listen to the hypocrisy. Here's Obama, number one, on your individual right to bear arms and what kind of arms you can and cannot bear.
I, like most Americans, believe that the Second Amendment guarantees an individual the right to bear arms. I think we recognize the traditions of gun ownership that passed on from generation to generation, that hunting and shooting are part of a cherished national heritage. But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals. That they belong on the battlefield of war, not on the streets of our cities. I believe the majority of gun owners would agree that we should do everything possible to prevent criminals and fugitives from purchasing weapons. That we should check someone's criminal record before they can check out a gun seller. That a mentally unbalanced individual should not be able to get his hands on a gun so easily. These steps shouldn't be controversial. They should be common sense.
There you have it. I, like most individuals, believe in an individual right to bear arms. He goes on to say, the national heritage of hunting and shooting, he understands that national heritage. But AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not criminals. Now let me go to this clip where Obama, and this is his aide, telling the press that Obama launched Project Gunrunner, which in turn gave thousands of AK-47s and other weapons to Mexican drug cartels.
Right.
The president has directed us to take action to fight these cartels, and Attorney General Holder and I are taking several new and aggressive steps as part of the administration's comprehensive plan. Those steps include the following. DOJ's Drug Enforcement Administration, which already has the largest U.S. drug enforcement presence in Mexico, with 11 offices in that country, is placing 16 new DEA positions in southwest border field operations, specifically to target Mexican trafficking and associated violence. The DEA is also deploying 4 new mobile enforcement teams to specifically target Mexican methamphetamine trafficking, both along the border and in U.S. cities impacted by the cartels. DOJ's Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is increasing its efforts by adding 37 new employees in 3 new offices using $10 million in Recovery Act funds and redeploying 100 personnel to the southwest border in the next 45 days to fortify its Project Gunrunner, which is aimed at disrupting arms trafficking between the United States and Mexico. ATF is doubling its presence in Mexico itself, from 5 to 9 personnel working with the Mexicans specifically to facilitate gun tracing activity, which targets the illegal weapons and their sources in the United States.
Are you referring to those same weapons that you are saying is going to be tracked as the same ones that were turned up in Gunrunner, Fast and Furious?
Isn't that
turned
fun?
Out never to be tracked or traced, and thousands of them slipped into the hands of a Sinaloa drug cartel in exchange for information on other cartels,
yeah.
At the same time allowing the Sinaloa drug cartel, through leaked government documents, which you can find, the actual individual names of the 2 kingpins who were caught by Customs and Border Patrol with 4 tons of cocaine and allowed to continue to drive them into the United States because they had an order of protection from the federal government.
Yes, it is the drug and gun running operation is a government operation. We have to understand that, and we have to understand that Fast and Furious, never investigated fully, was an assault, an end around assault against the Second Amendment. And we've been seeing these assaults against the Second Amendment. And conditioning, what I mentioned earlier about conditioning, we're being conditioned, the population is being conditioned with the words assault weapons, semi-automatic weapons, assault rifles, these big, scary guns. The guns that we don't need to hunt with. Of course we don't. That's not what we need them for. We need them for protection against an out of control government, or even in the best case scenario, let's just go there to assist in a government that becomes captured or endangered. But see, Obama, and even Bush to a lesser extent, but still there, and Clinton have adopted their New World, One World objectives. This is all part, folks. This is all part of the New World Order that was referenced by George Herbert Walker Bush on 9/11/90.
Wow.
Take it or leave it. I mean,
George Walker Bush also, by the way, his health is not doing, he's not doing too well, as I saw on multiple news sources the past week. His condition continues to deteriorate, as is reported.
We should pray for him.
We should pray that his soul, we should pray for him.
Indeed. Now,
as much as it hurts sometimes, it is, I mean, when you know the evil that these men have perpetrated, I mean, George Bush Sr., look no further than Panama. We'll go watch the Panama deception.
Look at the
Gulf War, PNAC, Carlisle Group, the Bin Laden connections. We still need to pray for him.
We need to pray for everybody, all of our enemies, you know, and friends and what have you. But I want to read an email, if I may. It's a very short email. It's in response to Judy McLeod's article from Canada Free Press about the May 8th article and about the Drudge headline today. The reason I want to read this is because it speaks directly to the heart of what we're seeing here, and it's from a woman by the first name of Elvira. And she writes that she's been reading the articles at Canada Free Press and sending them out to different contacts, and including some people within the government. The thing that caught my attention is the fact that Elvira writes that she witnessed herself. She witnessed exactly what is happening in America today, happening in her home nation of Cuba. And she said that it's sad that no one, no American, no person among her friends seems to notice how we're losing our freedoms. And her husband have been feeling very sad, have had this solemnness about them. And she said it's like not sure of what will happen, but knowing something bad will happen. And then going back and talking about her time in Cuba and saying, this is exactly what happened in Cuba. But it's reassuring to know that there are people like you folks listening to this program, who understand what's going on, knowing that something bad is just around the corner. And it gives comfort, because there is comfort in numbers, and we can pray. Let's continue to pray. God is in control. God bless Elvira. That's how she signed off. And that's what we're here for. That's because we need, and I was talking to, today I was talking with the gentleman that has provided me so much information, so much guidance with regard to Benghazi inside the intelligence agency, who knows exactly what went down in Benghazi, and is doing his best to make sure that the information gets out. But, you know, we have to make sure we have to cover for each other. We have to play our zones, as he says, and as I've said before. And we each have a job to do. And one of the things he said today, which was different than before, and I really didn't think about this, is, you know, people come along, and Joey, you and I talked about this early in the week, about people, they learn at their own levels, and they come to their realization at their own levels. Like, if someone would have tried to talk to me about, gematria,
gematria being the study of letters and numbers?
Yeah, you know, or even satanic or Luciferian issues 5 years ago, I would have tuned them out. I said, come on. You know, no. But see, if that individual would have written me off back then and said, well, he's a lost cause, and moved on and never contacted me again, then, boy, I would have missed out on a lot. And that, to me, is a lesson where the people who aren't really on board with you right now, who are saying, you know what, Auntie Mabel or Uncle Joe, you're just a little bit too far out for me, too fringe for me. Don't give up on them. See, because the information that we do provide, if it sounds crazy to them today, maybe something will hit them. Something will tick. Something a switch will turn on, and they'll say, oh, wait a minute. That's what Uncle Joe is talking about. Or that's what Aunt Marge was saying. And I think that that's what we need to do. I think we need, with loving kindness, gentle guidance, prayer, and support, we need to keep that information going and such. And I think that, yeah. And don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Because we're going to need them down the line. Shortly, we're going to need them. They will come around when they see the things that begin to happen next. And we're going to get into what's going to happen next.
Yeah,
tonight.
Yes, we are. We have an Army U.S. military influence operations manual I posted in the chat room yesterday, where it talks about what they want to do. And just to give you a brief definition of what their influence operation entails, it says, influence operations are focused on affecting the perceptions and behaviors of leaders, groups, or entire populations. Influence operations employ capabilities to affect behaviors, protect operations, communicate commanders' intent, and project accurate information to achieve desired effects across the cognitive domain. These effects should result in differing behavior or a change in the adversary's decision cycle, which aligns with the commander's objectives. Interesting. The military capabilities of influence operations are psychological operations, known as PSYOPs, military deception, operation security, OPSEC, counterintelligence, counterpropaganda operations, and public affair operations. Public affairs, while a component of influence operations, is predicated on its ability to project truthful information to a variety of audiences. These activities of influence operations allow the commander to prepare and shape, aka condition, the operational battle space by conveying selected information to target audiences. Propaganda.
That's right.
Shaping the perceptions of decision makers, securing critically friendly information, defending against sabotage, protecting against espionage, gathering intelligence, and communicating selected information about military activities to the global audience. And that is the definition of influence operations. And there are about, I don't know, 30 subchapters to this. I mean, anywhere from behavioral influences analysis center to psychological operations center to public affairs and mass media and media's instrument of war, the CNN effect, mass agenda setting, information theory, strategic communications, public diplomacy. It goes on, and it's all deception and lies.
All deception and lies, absolutely. But you know, go ahead.
We have some interesting stories tonight. One, L.A. residents swap guns for groceries. This today from ABC News.
Joe, you know what? And folks, you don't think that there are going to be people that are going to be turning over their guns? Oh. Yeah. Don't think for a minute that people aren't going to be turning over their guns. You know why? Because we've been conditioned. A number of people have been conditioned. Because those are bad guns that killed children. Innocent children. And just by owning them, you're contributing to this you're actually condoning, by owning, you're condoning the fact that you would be you'd be okay with killing children. It's all conditioning. It's all
brainwashing.
Yeah, exactly. It's all scary talk. And see, we're being conditioned by this scary talk, because this ambush of young children. You're an evil person. You're an uncaring person. You're anti-baby. You're anti-young child. You're anti-family. You're uncaring. You're evil. If you think it's okay, in the light of what happened in Sandy Hook, if you think it's okay to have these military assault weapons, military assault weapons.
It gets worse from there, you know, what they plan on doing. We have... I don't think I got a chance to upload it, but the Congress, they're calling for the gun assault weapons ban. But another thing that's lurking around the corner that people have forgotten about is the global gun control UN treaty. That's just around the corner, I think, going to be voted on in January or February.
Yes. And one thing, Joe...
I have a clip for that one.
Okay, yeah, before you do. One thing I want to... make sure everyone understands. And these really, look, I'm not as wise as the man who gave me this information. And I'll be the first to admit it. I'm just the messenger here. This is not just an attack or an attempt to take away the Second Amendment. This is an attack. An attempt, a grab, not only against the Second Amendment, but against the First. And if the sooner people understand this, the sooner everyone can understand the big picture. Please understand this. This is not just a way against the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. This is an attack against freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And there, folks, I'm putting together, and Joe and I are putting together an article that I think is so important. And I really, 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 we both would really appreciate your prayers when we put this together. We're going to attempt to do this immediately after the show, get it done, get it polished so it's ready to go. If it takes all night, it takes all night. If it takes an hour, that's great. One of the first victims of the First Amendment, the clampdown on the First Amendment, one of the first victims in this case, one of the first people thrown into the cauldron this brew, this witch's brew of hate speech, that was back in October of 2009. Folks, you know who he is. His name is Michael Savage. And many people have forgotten about Mr. Savage. Many people have forgotten that because of the words uttered by Mr. Michael Savage of the Savage Nation on his radio program, his words got him banned from Great Britain. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I really need you. Really, you have to really pay attention here, because Joe and I are putting a lot of effort into this. And I want to thank Joe publicly for his. Believe me, I think I did a pretty good job helping to raise him, but. On his own, he has developed a great amount of wisdom, a great amount of insight. And the fact that he has contributed so much to the research to this is, I just want to publicly say thank you. But that said, Michael Savage, in October of 2009, was the victim of Jackie Smith from the Great Britain, their Department of Homeland Security, if you will, but it's not that, it's a different department. He was banned. There was a travel ban against Michael Savage. They don't want him in Great Britain because of his hate speech. Now, you might think, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, I'll tell you, it does. It has a lot to do with this. Because what is taking place today is when you start, and this was mentioned on Alex Jones today, when you start advocating or supporting the Second Amendment rights, supporting the rights to bear arms, supporting the right to own a tyrannical resistance weapon, then you become vilified. You become absolutely a pariah among many. Michael Savage had spoken out had spoken about the Quran and about what was in the Quran, and allegedly incited a certain element of the population in Great Britain, and hence was prevented from traveling to Great Britain. He was placed on an unwelcome list. Out of 22 people, he was one of 22 people. The names of 16 were disclosed. Six were held in confidence, but he was one. And he was a talk show. He is a talk show host. And ladies and gentlemen, we, Joe and I, will be on that list. And Alex Jones will be on that list, as will others be on that list. But that list doesn't just stop at the travel ban.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, that goes, see,
and this is the thing, like the pyramid of the New World Order.
Yes.
They have rings of power where the knowledge is held at the top and trickled down to the bottom. Well, take that same setup and remove the knowledge part from it and just take the alternative media, the ones who are speaking out against the tyranny that is taking control of this nation. You have people like Alex Jones, like Ben Swan, who get the most alternative media attention.
Yes.
Those are the people, and then you have people like us and, people like Stan Deo, people like Steve Quayle, however, whatever order we're in, it doesn't matter. Those are the people that are going to come first, and you guys are on that list, even though you might be, leaders on Facebook or in your community or in your home. You are on that list,
yes.
Regardless.
And
it doesn't matter if you go, and people say, oh, don't have a Facebook. Yeah, I agree that you shouldn't share all your personal information on the internet.
Oh, please,
but trust
don't.
Me, Facebook can be used for good. But at the same time, I don't worry about them getting my information from social networking sites when they can spy on me through my TV and light bulbs, and they admit they do.
And people out there who chuckle to that, I used to say, "Come on, Joe. Yeah, you're not Joe, but come on." So really, you really believe that nonsense?
Well, when the CIA director comes out and says, yes, we can spy on you through your dishwasher, I don't just automatically agree or believe it, but when further proof is shown that that is, in fact, the case, yes.
Well, and new listeners of this program, I had worked some intellectual property theft, some pretty high dollar value theft, intellectual property. What am I trying to say? Back in the mid-90s, I was an operational asset for the Department of Justice, and we had in a Fortune 100 corporation. And together, we were investigating intellectual property theft. And also, that went to, everyone is probably familiar now with cable boxes. And these cable boxes were being counterfeited. And, of course, the objective is, and folks, you might think that this is ridiculous, but in a way, I'll agree with you. But when you hear the key, you'll change your mind, perhaps. But anyway, our company was hired by a major cable provider to investigate cable television theft. And let me tell you something. You talk about being a hated person. I was vilified by a talk show host here in my hometown for an hour. And basically he told me to do something anatomically impossible on air. But that said, I mean, you're not going to win any friends by conducting investigations like that for the big bad cable company. But that aside, here's what I learned. The technology that existed back in the mid-90s was a two-way technology. They could, through your cable box, at that time, listen to what was going on within a radius inside of your home. And it was more of a, I don't want to say, it wasn't the intent, but it was the ability. And that surprised the heck out of me. So if that technology existed back in the mid-90s, think about what exists today.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's real, and it's there. So don't dismiss things out of hand that sound unreasonable because they exist. But I didn't mean to digress in that area, but other than to say that the technology is there. Facebook, Twitter, go ahead. Use them for your advantage. Use them for the advantage of informing others. That's a great way of helping others. It's a good marketing tool if you're in business. It's like a baseball bat. You can use it to hit a baseball for your wife. Okay, I mean
it's a place of fellowship. It's a place where you can, you know, people can, if you have a computer and you're online, pretty much any information you can get have taken from you without you knowing. That you would put on Facebook or wouldn't put on Facebook. It really doesn't matter. There is no line in the sand here when it comes to the privacy of what you post on any social media sites or privacy of what you visit on your ISP addresses or the privacy of anything you read, write, comment on, like, you know, share, even if you read an article in the New York Times and share it via email, via SMS message on your phone. All of it's tracked. Anything electronic you do is tracked. Anything you see outside and basically inside is probably tracked and recorded. We are in a prison planet, and there is no way of getting out of it.
Except the one. You're right.
Except one. And it doesn't involve guns, and it doesn't involve civil wars, at least not with us doing the fighting, except in the spiritual battles that we will encounter. We must uplift the Lord, and we must uplift each other to be uplifted in the Lord.
Exactly.
Through salvation, our eternal soul is saved. We can be assured of one thing, and that is spending eternity in heaven with Christ. If we can't and don't have that, we don't have anything anyway. There's nothing to fight for. There's no reason to fight.
Well, I agree. But while we're here and while we're I believe that we all have a task, and I think that the listeners, the majority of listeners do as well, that if you're listening to this program, you've got a task. God put you here for a reason at this moment in time, at this day, at this hour. You are here for a reason. And, of course, the reason is to glorify God. However, we can do more than one thing. And while we're here, it's our earthly power to help others become educated into what's going on. And attempt to change things, too. And I got an email today, Joe. I didn't tell you this. I got an email, and it's saying, well, maybe given the headlines, maybe it's time to leave the United States and say the heck with it. It's not worth saving. And I thought to myself, you know, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Are you going to go to Panama? Are you going to go to Costa Rica? Are you going to go to Paraguay? Are you going to go somewhere where you're just, you know,
right?
Can
you run?
You're not going to run from what's coming. Because it's going to be global in nature, hence the name New World Order.
Yeah.
And the other bit of information I just want to pass along, and I think this is very, very, very important. And it does have to do with Michael Savage, too, being banned from Great Britain. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen, and please listen carefully, because this is the crux of what Joe and I are working on right now. Think about this. How is this going to play out? We go over this fiscal cliff. It's orchestrated. It is planned. This is being planned. This is being planned.
This has been planned.
Thank you for that.
Continuing,
yes.
The agenda is so much further along than we could ever imagine. If we had a timeline on our video feed here, we would be about where the dollar is when it started. We have lost 98% of our value, meaning the agenda is about 98% complete.
Or to put it another way, if the firefight in Benghazi began at 9 o'clock, we are right now at 8:30, 8:45, standing in front of the CIA compound in Benghazi.
Yeah.
That's where how close we are.
And for people who say, oh, you know, we have to flee America, we have to, you know, it's the only way out, you know.
Really?
The tribulations are going to follow us no matter where we go. Whether North America is mentioned in the Bible in the end times or not, that is debatable. Mystery Babylon, I think John Price
right.
Who we're going to have back on the show, author of End of America. It is an issue that is debated. But regardless of why are you worried about where you're going to run to be safe? All you need to do is run under the protection of the Lord, and your safety's there. You'll be hidden there.
That's right.
No. Why run to and fro like it says in the Bible in the last days? We have no need to.
The other part, though, and why this is so important with Michael Savage and what's coming is people, please work this out in your head. Think about this. I'm going to ask you to kind of go mentally look into the future. The dollar collapses. Whatever the cataclysmic event, whatever the tripwire is, the trigger event is, we have a collapse of the dollar. Now, back in 2007, how many of you remember George W. Bush meeting with Vicente Fox?
And Harper.
Well, Harper was also there as well during a course of meetings, but the press conference that came out was actually Vicente Fox on CNN. Larry King had said that they had decided, meaning Bush and Fox had decided that they would align themselves in a North American union. So, but and even to the extent of having a common currency, so that would be Canada, the United States, and Mexico. But if the objective is a one world order and one world currency, where, folks, and I'll just pause for a moment and let people in the chat room maybe type a response. If there is a one world currency, where do you think, in the absence of the dollar, and I'm watching the chat room right now, in the absence of the U.S. dollar, and it had the world had to switch to one currency, where in the globe do you think that currency would have to be administered? Where would be the headquarters of this? Where? What city? All across the globe
we have three really
well
center if you look at the financial spectrum of things
I see a correct answer here.
I do too. London
correct. There's 1 square mile in London,
and it could be London.
Okay,
it could be
I'm talking about world. Look, Rome
it could be the Vatican.
I'm sorry, Denver is Denver for the United States, I understand that. But if you look at, for example, the world where all the banking is done.
Yes, it is the head of the world banking system.
Right,
London.
So now think of, okay, now the next question. If that, let's just assume for one moment that that's right. Where in the United States, Mexico, and Canada would there be like a branch office to oversee the currency of the North American Union?
Well, there you could say New York or Denver, depending on the capital of the U.S.
Really? But if it's
or Mexico City.
Wait a minute. If it's administered out of London, what would be the natural, because of the political affiliation, where would it be handled out for the North American Union? Well, Lake Dog, Canada. That's correct. Canada. So think about this. If that does happen, and Canada actually is overseeing the North American part of this global currency, and London is in charge of the currency, now think about the plight of Michael Savage in that respect, the travel ban.
That makes more sense.
You follow where I'm going with this?
Yes.
Okay. The attack on the Second Amendment is only part of the problem. The bigger part is the Second and First Amendment. And our forefathers, I think when they delineated the amendments in the Bill of Rights, I think that they numbered them in order of importance. That's kind of how I'd do it if I lived back then. So this attack on the Second Amendment is also an attack on the First Amendment, and we're going to see it play out. So we are all going to be in the same boat as Michael Savage, because we are, especially the talk show hosts and the columnists and the journalists and the people who are outspoken, and that travel ban is going to amount to hate speech, and hate speech is going to amount to the lack of freedom of speech, and that is going to amount to a criminalization of not only owning those big bad weapons, but also the criminalization of your speech. And then we are fully captive in a captive operation, and that's what's going to take place, and that's what we see taking place. So it's just not the guns. It's also the guns and our freedom of speech. And when we lose one, we lose the other. If you lose the first, you lose the second. The second guarantees the first. The first helps the second. I'm going to tell you, this is the plan of Obama, of Jared. They're the closers of this plan. And that, folks, is really a scary. You talk about a scary gun. You talk about you're scared of these big assault rifles. This is what we need to be afraid of. Well, I shouldn't say be afraid of, be aware of, so we can appropriately inform, educate, and see if you know, if you listening to this program have that mental and spiritual preparation, you're going to be so far ahead of the rest. The spiritual preparation first, of course, mental and spiritual goes hand in hand. But by having that preparation, by knowing what's coming, you can help others.
Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report this Thursday, December 27th, 2012. We'll be right back after these few short messages. We thank you for joining us tonight. We're taking your calls and more on the other side. Stay with us.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Hold on to your seat. The Hagman and Hagman flight is now taking off. Doug and Joe Hagman have cleared the runway of TSA agents, jihadists, political crackpots, and global elitists. Now get ready for some real news. Here they are, Doug and Joe Hagman.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the second hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report on this Thursday, December 27th, 2012. We are almost at the end of the year, going to start a brand new year, 2013, and it's always good to start a new year. New goals, new challenges, new things on the horizon. Unfortunately, this year it looks like we're going to start with new debt, new problems, new laws. And I'm going to play a video or an audio clip here for you. This was, I'm not sure how long ago this was made. I think it was the end of last year or the beginning of this year. This is Global Gun Control Treaty for the UN.
Let's get the big picture now. Look at how the gun debate in the U.S. is affecting the global arms trade. There's work on a draft treaty at the U.N. to regulate the $70 billion business of arms trading, but major arms manufacturers, producers, including the U.S. and Russia, have been dragging their feet. Let's have a closer look at the treaty and the politics surrounding it, and bring in Jeff Abramson, director of Control Arms. He's in our Washington studios. Thanks so much for being with us. Let me ask you, first of all, what is in this treaty?
Thanks, and thanks for having me on. This is a treaty to regulate the international trade of weapons, from tanks and battleships all the way down to guns and ammunition, potentially. And what the treaty will do is create agreement globally about what is responsible arms trade. Right now, the world is facing this question. For example, when we hear Russia saying it's okay to continue arming Syria, that might be legally true, but at a responsibility level, it doesn't pass the test. So what the treaty would create are the rules for what is responsible. So, for example, it's pretty clear you can't transfer against the UN arms embargo. That's not going to be debated. But we'll create in there some ideas around violations of international humanitarian law, human rights, arming of terrorists, as well as some considerations of things about sustainable development, diversion, as well as whether arms should be going to transnational organized crime.
So this is a very big look at weapons around the world. In the United States, it's come down to a lot of domestic opposition from two groups. Arms manufacturers, and they export. They make money from these guns. They don't want controls. And ordinary Americans who fear that the United Nations is going to reach in and grab the weapons from their homes. Do either of these groups have a point?
Neither of those groups have a point. And this is what your previous story talking about the gun control debate in the United States and how it's done in other countries. In the United States, the NRA and its pro-gun allies have been just telling misinformation and lies about this treaty. The treaty explicitly, part at the behest of the United States, says that countries have the right of weapons within their country. They have the sole responsibility for what should happen with those. Your statement about manufacturing groups, that is really isolated to the small arms manufacturers. At the global level, we're talking also about tanks and fighter jets, and a lot of those industries actually are supportive of the treaty because they realize right now there's a patchwork set of regulations around the globe.
So it's people who make guns and you're saying misinformed people who own guns who are opposed to this. Let me ask you about U.S. opposition. There's also Chinese opposition. There's Russian opposition. How powerful is the opposition? What are the prospects for this treaty actually being adopted and put into force?
Sure. And just running back to the U.S. side of this, What we'll see now moving forward is I think there'll be a lot more opening for debate in the United States about gun control, as well as we're now past the election season. In July, the United States on the last day stood up and said, we need more time. And they've been lambasted for a lack of courage. But the United States has said they do want this treaty. They have some specific concerns about ammunition. Russia and China have also raised some concerns. But in particular, China, for example, originally was opposed to human rights being considered in the arms trade. They have since pretty much dropped that and now want to have different sort of a carve out for gifts. So it's a technical issue. But the majority of the world does want to see this happen. And at the last vote at the UN, 157 states said, I want this to move forward. Regions, large regions of the world have been pushing very hard for this treaty for quite some time. So in Africa, in Latin, in South America, I think the vast preponderance of effort is for this treaty, and some of the skeptics, they need to step up. President Obama is a Nobel Peace Prize winner, and we forget that. This could be a real legacy issue. The treaty fits with the way the U.S. approaches the world. It has a very strong export control system, and President Obama has made a point domestically to talk about preventing genocide around the world. That's what this treaty is about.
Well, with that appeal, Jeff Aberson of Control Arms, a big issue, literally a life and death issue. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, and the Nobel Peace Prize winning Obama, so concerned about genocide as he is, as he continues his march against guns, because as we have played earlier, we should play again this wonderful piece put together by Mike Adams on how gun control is genocide, or we could go over the 4 or 5 page articles we went over before on the 5 different examples of how gun control led to democide, which is the death by government, the number one cause in the last 100 years, when a country bans guns and then murders mass parts of their population, usually the opposition, which would be you and me and anybody who doesn't support our Peace Prize winning drone children killing president or person we call president.
Wow. You're throwing
choice words there. It makes me so angry to see this propaganda machine, the Fox News, CNBC, MSNBC, playing against each other. Oh, you know, Fox and MSNBC hate each other, when pretty much they take orders from the same people.
Yeah,
they have the same
right.
Party line, and it's just disgusting. We're going to go over this gun, Dianne Feinstein and her gun assault weapons ban that she's trying to bring up and have the Senate vote on to take away not only assault rifles, they are now talking that semi-automatic handguns are assault weapons, which is absolutely insane.
We talked about that. We told you this was coming, and we told you. In fact, the gentleman that's my source had said this, and people, I got emails saying you're out of your mind. You're a disinformation agent. This won't happen. And we talked about this on this program, and people still. And no matter what happens, but please, folks, listen to this. Those people who are saying, well, this will never pass the Senate, this won't pass. Do you understand it doesn't matter? It's not going to matter because even if it fails as a legitimate piece of legislation, Obama threw an end around, through an executive order, through an extrajudicial type of activity, will make it so. That is part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just, there's no, look, it is going to happen.
Washington Post, Democrats push for more sweeping assault weapons ban. New York Times, Obama vows fast action and new push for gun control. Obama declared that he would make gun control a central issue as he opens his second term, promising to submit broad new firearm proposals to Congress no later than January to employ the full power of his office to overcome deep-seated political resistance. Yeah, people that don't like having their guns taken away aren't fringe terrorist lunatics. They are freedom, for the most part, freedom-loving, anti-tyrannical human beings that want to live their life by raising their children and having the same opportunities as everybody else in the free country. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, on both sides of the aisle, you do have a very small percentage of lunatic fringe people. You have the neo-Nazis, for example.
Okay.
You have the Ku Klux Klan. You have the Black Panthers. And still, out of all these fringe groups we have, and then include the ones that the Southern Poverty Law Center says are terrorist groups, which is everything from the ACLU to, whatever, PETA any organization.
You can't, Ron Paul supporters, constitutionalists,
right.
You know, everything.
All those fringe organizations. How many mass shootings do we see from these fringe, lunatic, outlaw organizations?
Well, can I answer that?
Yeah.
Okay, let me answer it very carefully. None yet.
None yet. There have been a few.
Well,
there was the one case of a guy shooting up a Jewish school in the U.S.
Okay.
We have, and I'm not talking about the Batman Aurora shooter because we don't know about that. I'm not talking about this shooter either, this Connecticut one, because we don't know about that. But what we do know is that the vast majority of the murders committed in this last century have been by government. They have been on their own people, and they have been followed by laws like the NDAA and NDAA and gun banning laws.
But see, when I say none yet, folks, we're not done. We have not seen the last mass shooting, or let me rephrase that. We have not seen the last event or the real tipping point. Now, consider that for a moment. The shooting at the school in Newtown was, in fact, a game changer, a tipping point. We're not done. Please understand what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We have not seen a tipping point.
It's going to come to the point where, like we say with everything else, we as Americans, and I'm not saying we as a people, a listenership of our show, because we know better, will beg for it.
Right. Now listen, we don't want to appear like we are preaching to the choir, because we're not preaching and you're not the choir. We're trying to give you intelligence, actionable information and data of what is about to take place or what is going to be taking place in the short term.
From information we've gathered and reported on.
That's right.
And I didn't get a chance to get in at the beginning of the show. I was had a project I was working on. And the title of the show, Don't Shoot the Messenger, that is, and I don't want this to sound like it's about us, and I don't want it to sound like it's about...
it's not. I mean, no.
Because you were just the messenger.
Transferring
information from somebody inside the Department of Homeland Security...
Yeah, I think we have an open mic somewhere now.
Yeah, somebody's trying to interrupt this, but... You were transferring information you received from a Department of Homeland Security informant, and you published that information.
That's right.
What became of that? You were attacked, and your credibility was, put up for question, banned from various sites around the Internet for being a conspiracy theorist. Then, Alex Jones asked you to come on your show. Then a bunch of other places banned you. While saying the same thing, now Judge comes out and says, Civil War, Senate to ban handguns. Now, how many people are going to say he's fear-mongering?
It's already started.
Coming out of Washington of what they're doing.
But
this is what makes me so mad. They're going to come after the person reporting on what's happening.
Well,
if you were the first one to report on the Connecticut shooting, does that make you the murderer? No.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But yeah, but see now, for example, folks, okay, the message is about what's going to happen with the weapons, but there are going to be other items that are going to be included in that. Think about this. For example, body armor. Now,
ammunition.
Yeah. Well, of course. But see, no one has mentioned body armor. So the fact that that we'll say also included in a broad ban of contraband will be body armor. I happened to catch this on the forum, and somebody said, what ban? There's no new ban. You got to stop talking like this. This is nuts. Nobody's even talking about banning body armor and night vision. But they're not even in the proposed new laws. Yes, very good. Very good. Very astute observation. But you know what? 3 months ago, neither were semi-automatic pistols.
But don't forget Obama's promise to Sarah Brady to work under the radar.
Yes.
To pass gun control legislation, even if it means working around Congress.
See, he
basically
that's right.
Look at the cybersecurity issue. They couldn't get SOPA passed.
Or ACTA or PIPA.
So what they do? They draft their own secretive cybersecurity legislation.
Right.
They're not going to be able to get the gun ban passed. I don't think so. If they get it passed through voting it through the House and the Senate, I will be shocked.
Okay,
well, I will go to Washington and start handcuffing these ingrates myself. But it's going to come down to an executive order, but it's going to progress before that. You're going to see these programs: the food for guns, shots for guns, homes for guns.
Yeah,
it's going to get worse and worse as the welfare system gets cut off, as the money you paid into that they call entitlements, like Social Security, when it's your time to collect your money, basically, from your savings account, they say isn't your money, that you never earned.
Well,
then they're going to start taking those away. They're going to start taking away the welfare and cutting it down. Well, look, you have a gun. We can't have people on welfare that have guns. You're going to need to make a decision. Just like the mark of the beast. Do you want to buy or sell, or do you want to die?
And the expansion of the psychiatric element as well is going to play into this, as I mentioned earlier in the program. But you're right, Joe. See, people think it's going to be a singular event. It's not going to be a singular event. It goes hand in hand with the collapse of our economy. Because when you need that flu shot, when you need that penicillin, when you need that operation, when you need the food.
See, it's not the flu shot, but you had it right. When you need the operation.
Okay, well, you know what I mean.
When you need the penicillin, what's it called?
Antibiotic. Right.
The life-saving, life-sustaining
or that
medicine.
Insulin.
Yes. The life-sustaining food, because we know through the Codex Alimentarius that have removed all nutrients from normal food.
Right. To starve us. And now, isn't it something, folks, that Obamacare or the affordable health care, isn't the timing just serendipitous? The timing, because now you've got control over not only a third of the economy and the centralization of records, but you've got this problem, this health problem known as gun violence. And what better way to address that than through the Affordable Care Act? And of course, if you want to be a part of that, you have to be a part of that. Well, what better way to collect the information? And as I said before, if you go to the doctor, when's the last time you were there? Did they ask you about gun ownership?
Yeah.
I bet you they did.
My goodness, the number of phone calls we've received over the last 2 months stating that people who are going to have to fill out new forms at doctor's offices did include the question, do you own a gun?
Absolutely.
Not for mental health, not for psychiatric, veterans' health. We're talking about checkups, normal doctor visits.
The physicians, at least in our state, are required every year to give the patients, even if the patient's been there for like forever. Like I've been with my doctor for 20 plus years, he knows me and I know him. And I know everyone in the office, but I still have to fill out the questionnaire, and the questions are still asked. Do you own a gun?
No, I don't own a gun. I own 1,500 of them.
it shouldn't be about
if you own a gun or not.
Right.
It should not have anything to do with that. The questions asked at a medical facility should be, are you sick? What's wrong with you? Where does it hurt? not do you own a firearm.
Oh, well, I long for the days. Remember,
but the
folks,
censuses now. They come around with 50, page, 50, 60, 100 question page censuses. Well, you only need to answer one question. How many people live in your house?
I have our
census.
I can't.
Certificate was what I used to say when I was young, instead of certificate. That was the big one. But census.
I have a hard time with so many words. Census. But you know, look here. See the one. Part two, and the one part of this, and I really want everyone to understand this. Please, please be aware of the potential betrayal by people, by your friends, by your neighbors, by people you think you can trust. Please be aware of it.
Oh yeah, and listen, I got something to say on that, because as they will betray, as they will turn you in. For their own safety.
Or for because they're hungry, or because they want to be good citizens. And
remember one thing. Have a forgiving heart. Because
no, God
what
bless
did Henry Gruber say about the retention of sins and the remission of sins? If you guys haven't heard that, our first broadcast, we did one last week with Henry Gruber, but if you go back a month or two before that, he gets into this. We can't hold it against our neighbors. We need to treat others like we want to be treated. And no matter what people do to us on this earth, we need to be able to forgive them. And if our heart can't do that, our heart's not ready for the Lord.
Well, definitely. But, you know,
but that's not something that comes easy.
Can we possibly, though, even try to avoid that, even avoid that position by being just...
How can we... I mean, it's in the Bible.
No,
what
I'm saying is... avoid the kind of like when you put yourself in a position. Let's say you're married and you go to a singles bar. Okay, you shouldn't be in the singles bar. So, if you think of it in that respect, if you've got things that you know that you don't want others to know about, why talk about them? Why show them? Why make it a part of the conversation? If in fact you do not trust them, now
it's like the old saying when people. What is it? Tyrants hate those who forgive their killers.
Okay, we're going back to that set. Yeah.
And that is what, look at what Jesus said to his killers, you know?
Well, one thing, folks, I'll say this, and I was, put a smile on my face from an otherwise, talking about a very tragic situation in Newtown. There were 20 children that were massacred there, according to the reports. And Pastor David Langford and I had a conversation today, and he said, you know, from his point in his study of the Bible and his study of the gematria, if you will, and that's probably not the right. I'm not setting it up right, but it doesn't matter. But 20 is the number for salvation. And he said, I'm sure, in my heart, I'm sure that each of those children is with the Lord, are with the Lord. Each is with the Lord. And I thought, wow, you know, the darkness, out of that darkness, that, to me, and I know Marianne and I were talking as well, and each one of those young hearts, young people. Maybe there was a reason. Maybe through God's mercy, there was a reason that God needed them back. I don't know. I don't know. But I take solace in the words of Pastor Langford in that respect. So, but see, we're headed for this darkness, or we're in this darkness, but we're headed for even darker times, and the. You know, as much as we talk about betrayal, as I just mentioned before, I also want to mention too, we need to kind of get together and help one another understand. And as I said earlier, don't disregard someone because they're not up to speed with you, because we're all at different levels of understanding at this point. I think it's going to be so important now for everyone to to get within groups of like-minded people. Even at the risk of betrayal, but try not to put yourself in that position. But let's try to get within groups of like-minded people.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, and because let's, for example, maybe your dentist and doctor, maybe you're a carpenter and no dentist or a doctor, and you might need something with your teeth, and he might need something built, and you're of like mind, and maybe you're both Christians, and you both believe in the same things. These are the kinds of alliances that we need to start forming right now. Start thinking about how you can do this within your own community, because you know things as much as things will get bad. I personally believe things will continue to a certain extent. It's not going to be, to me, it's not going to be this. What was that show where it was like total Armageddon? I don't know what it was. It was some program on television, some series, but it wasn't Jericho. It was some more recent series. But there will be areas of normal activity, of trade, barter, of life goes on, and there will be weddings, and there will be funerals, and there will be graduations, and there will be normal things taking place, despite all of the things taking place. So you've got to develop this, at least in my view, in our view, I think too, you've got to develop this network of people. So that's just my point of view.
You're right, and I think we should take some calls. We have a full bank of callers.
Let's do that. It's halfway through the program right now. Believe it or not, halfway through. So we can take some calls now, and let's see what's on your mind, how you feel about things, where you see things going, and let's do it.
All right. Folks, if you want to weigh in on the events taking place today or anything that's on your mind, 661-244-9839 is the number. That's 661-244-9839 is the number. If you are unable to call that number and you're in the chat room, send me a private message with your number, and we will try to get you on air by calling you, as we always want to hear from new people as our show continues to grow and expand. We are going to start. We're going to go to area code 757 first. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. What's on your mind?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi. It's Cynthia from Virginia. I wrote a few notes down so I wouldn't lose my train of thought, but a question occurred to me. How did 350 million people allow 535 people to keep taking away our rights and destroying our nation from within? How in the world did we do that? And as I see it, these 535 representatives, along with some presidents over the last 50 or 60 years, haven't themselves really looked at the big picture. This is what they think they want, but it always, always looks good on paper, especially if you're an academic with no true life skills or common sense. I mean, it didn't work out too well. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have to say that there's a delay of a few seconds, so that kind of is confusing, but you're right. The question is, how can a country of 300 and some plus million people be governed by 535? How do we let that happen? I mean, when you say governed, I mean led astray by that small number of people.
Small changes, or not small changes, when we went from letting the state representatives, the elected state representatives, from them giving the power of electing senators over to elections in the United States, so electing senators, that really changed the state's positions in handing over power, more power to the federal government rather than states retaining their own power.
Well, and one more thing, caller, if I can interject, and I agree with you, Joe. I think it's a matter of centralization. I think, you know, think about what federal income tax was put into place, that centralized operations. But go ahead, caller.
Well, I had a few more things. I just want those out there, when all is said and done, exactly where do the elitists think they're going to be safe? The whole planet knows what they look like. How will they be able to get their own food? How will they be able to even trust their own employees in the end game, or even their own family or friends after all is said and done? Do they really want to live underground with each other? They all want to be kings, queens, or gods. How do they think that's going to end for them? How do they even trust their doctors and nurses in the end game? They don't realize this, but they do need those that fear and love God, because we are honest and do have integrity, of which they lack. They think they will be exempt from these young ones that we have managed to raise over the last 50, 60 years. But don't you think that these young ones will bite the hand that feeds them? They are fooling themselves. They are fooling themselves, because these are gimme, 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 I'm entitled. Now, if they want to kill off everybody and just leave themselves, I'm sure that's going to be a real pretty picture. They need to remember that it didn't work out well for Hitler. He ended up in a bunker underground. Saddam ended up in a spidey hole. And Gaddafi ended up in a culvert. So, you know, they need to keep these things in mind. And that's all I have to say, and thank you.
Well, God bless you, caller.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you said it right on the money about biting the hand that feeds you. These people don't understand that concept. They think they're part of the club.
As it was explained to me, I mean, these people believe that in the end they're going to have a seat. They've earned a seat at the table, the globalist table, and when in fact I don't, you know, in some cases that might be true, in other cases that won't be true.
Yeah.
But they can't hide from the people who are hungry, starving, and wanting to go after.
And caller, one last thing before you go. Can I have your name, please?
Your first name.
It's Cynthia from Virginia.
Cynthia. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Cynthia.
Yeah, we like to hear from new callers. Cynthia, what a great call. And our audience is just growing tremendously, and these people are so great. So
we're going to go on here to area code 512. You are live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. How can we help you tonight?
Joe and Doug, I've been listening to y'all for about 5 months, first-time caller, and I want to thank y'all very much for your program.
Well, thank you for listening.
Yes.
And that opening, how can I help you tonight?
Well, I was
calling
concerned about Joe. I thought he was going to have an aneurysm there for a moment. So I just wanted to tell him to calm down a little bit.
Yeah, usually it's me, caller. I mean, usually it's I get all worked up and...
This stuff is frustrating, and if I don't, and like most people, check my emotions, make sure that I think before I talk, I can get myself into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that my wife and I have, first of all, you guys have done more to help me prepare and inform me, and I thank you, and I thank y'all so, so much. But my wife and I have been discussing the gun issue. I've never owned a gun. Maybe way back 13 years, when I was 13 years old, but I haven't owned a gun since then. And of recent have considered purchasing a gun. And we've both talked about it. We've both prayed about it. And with two grandkids, it's just a concern for my wife that something could happen to them, you know, accidentally with the gun. And both have come to the conclusion that we will not purchase one, and that, you know, we're... Our protection is God. God is the one who's going to take care of us, and you know, despite whatever happens. And so that's what keeps me sane, is the fact that it's God who's going to take care of us.
And you are correct. It is God that is going to take care of you. And as far as owning a firearm, you taking that to the Lord is the best way to resolve that issue. And you always looking to him for the answers will help you and make sure, ensure that you will prevail through these tribulations that we are going to encounter.
And caller, if I can say this, in a group of people that that I've kind of counseled in a way, there was one gentleman who's Well, I could tell you because it's, no one's going to guess who it is anyway, but he's actually a dentist, and he just doesn't want to own any firearms. Well, among the friends and people in his group of like-minded people, I think 80% own firearms. So he doesn't have to. You know, he's got a skill that he can trade off for security.
Yeah.
And that's already been decided. So, you know, it's what best fits you. You know, perhaps you can have someone close to you. Maybe you're good at fixing automobiles, for example, and then trade or whatever. But somebody close to you can certainly, if the time did come where personal security was necessary, someone can, whatever you've got to offer, someone can offer that in return. So that's kind of what I mean by like-minded people.
Well, I wanted to appreciate everything that y'all do. I love your show, and keep up the good work, and just keep the faith.
Well, thank you. And
thank you so
I appreciate
much.
You your concern for my possible hemorrhage. I don't like to get...
I've been pilling him like a dog with my blood pressure medication in his Mountain Dew. So I'm just kidding. But thanks for the call, my friend.
All right, thank you very much.
You have a good night. God bless.
Bye.
All right, a couple of great calls here. We're going to go to Donna, then we're going to go to Sheila. Donna, you're up first on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Joe. Great show. Doug, I went ahead and watched clips from the Olympics because you kept mentioning that in several programs. Very interesting. I didn't know if you knew that Brave New World, the movie, is going to be Ridley Scott's going to be doing a version of that. It's coming out. I'm not sure if it's next year. I thought that was interesting since the two books in the Olympics was the human rights, something UN human rights. And then the other one was Brave New World. You might want to tell people about that. So I watched that, and it was kind of creepy, to tell you. This was very, very creepy, the beginning and the end. I didn't watch the whole thing, but just excerpts on YouTube because you'd mentioned it. And I have to admit, it was pretty creepy. Also, I wanted to know, you had mentioned from your sources that if they don't, if this gun thing doesn't go through, or maybe I'm paraphrasing, but that, you know, they were going to continue to push the agenda by pushing, I don't know if you want to call it events, things, or whatever, until they are able to take the guns away from people. If that's true, maybe you can comment on that. And again, like the caller before, stay with the Lord. That's what I try to do, and I'll let you go.
All right, Donna, I'll answer, thank you. I'll answer your question. We'll catch you. I'll answer your question off air. The with respect to the how the exact method of gun confiscation, and this is what we're talking about here. Ultimately, we're talking about gun confiscation.
Forced.
Yes. There is a phrase that's used by, once again, a good friend of mine, a man I respect, but not in this context, in a different context, but I could apply it to this context. It's he uses the phrase, no single point failure. No single point failure. And I would apply it to this context as well. When you are in the heat of battle, or when you're planning a battle, which is what this is, you make contingency plans, and you make, what ifs. You've got what if scenarios. You've got, well, if this doesn't work, then we can implement this. And if this doesn't work, we can implement this. And if the Aurora, or if the shooting in Aurora really doesn't do the trick, maybe the shooting of 20 plus children away, or maybe I don't want to say that, but you know what I mean. If we can't exploit this one shooting, we can certainly exploit this shooting. We can exploit this event. So there's multiple ways in which they are planning. So there's not just one; it's multiple ways. It's criminalizing the weapons, and then taking the ability maybe of getting benefits, federal benefits, if you haven't complied, then you're not entitled to federal benefits.
Speaking of federal benefits, the number of people on welfare exceeds the number of people with jobs in over 11 states now.
See, and that is the Cloward Piven strategy. And a lot of people first heard of that by Glenn Beck. And again, that goes to, you know, it doesn't matter what you think of Glenn Beck. It doesn't matter what you think of me. It doesn't matter what you think of Joe. It doesn't matter what you think of Alex. It doesn't matter what you think of anybody. It's the message. See, the Cloward Piven strategy, as described by Glenn Beck, at least most recently and perhaps most thoroughly, that's what that's all about.
America is rapidly becoming a nation of talkers, or takers, I'm sorry.
Or talkers, in our case, we're
number
talkers.
Of Americans expect the government to take care of them from the cradle to the grave, and they expect the government to dig into the pockets of others in order to pay for it all.
See, okay, Joe, stop right there for a second. Wait. Think about that for a second, because isn't that what this gun thing's all about? There's a mentality out there where the people are saying, well, you don't need the ugly black rifle because the government...
We have police.
We have police.
Well, what happens when they turn those police on to the citizens?
Or what happens when the police aren't there?
Or what happens when they the police or the government sell weapons to the criminals? As in Mexico. I mean, look how... We always reference this. Look how good gun control works in the cities that have gun control. They have the worst gun crime rates in the country.
Of course.
But it's no coincidence.
But look, Piers, Mr. Morgan, exactly. Gun control legislation, laws in practice do not work, obviously. And you know that. We're preaching to the choir here. But try talking to... a diehard progressive, a diehard liberal, someone who is so anti-gun.
Yeah,
you know, they,
not even someone who is evil, though. Just
right.
The mindset of the hardcore pro-left, just a little, not as leftist as commie, not the people that don't come out and say, I support socialism.
It's the rational.
The people who call themselves true Democrats.
The rational people.
Yeah.
You know,
see the responses. I mean, it is ridiculous.
Oh, the hatred is visceral out there.
Not only do we have the chemical attacks from the air, food, and water, not only do we have Agenda 21, we have the Rural Council, we have the EPA flying drones over, farms in the Midwest. We have Executive Order, the National Defense Resources Preparedness Act, that was signed into law March 16th of this year. That says the president can confiscate all and any property, including you and your family, in times of emergency or times of peace. Did you guys know that? Also, the NDAA allows the government to detain.
Why don't you repeat that?
The National Defense Resource Preparedness Act, signed into executive order into law on March 16th, 2012, which allows the government to take and confiscate any and all of your personal private property, regardless if it's a house, a car, or your family, to put into work brigades,
right,
to separate your family to put into work brigades, if it is in the best interest of the state during peacetime or during times of war. Stress on peacetime being the new one, because never in a time of peace has a nation went under martial law.
You know, I want to take this opportunity real quick here. Something appeared yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Yes, it was. In the Atlantic, in the business section of the Atlantic. It's a website. And folks, think about this.
Is there a Pacific website? A little business idea there for anybody.
The Atlantic.com, or how about the Pacific.com? Yeah, interesting. Well, the title of it is A Smart Way to Control Guns, Force Owners to Buy Insurance for Them. The author is Jordan Weissman. And Mr. Weissman posits that those who want to limit the number of firearms in this country or make sure that people who own them are responsible, careful individuals, he proposes that there is a law to make gun owners purchase liability insurance for their weapons. Now, isn't that interesting? Because, you know, you have a pool, we'll say an above-ground pool or an in-ground pool in your backyard. You would have insurance, a rider that would cover any liable actions or accidents with respect to the pool. Or if you've got, in fact, if you've got a German Shepherd or a pit bull, there's insurance. You buy insurance that covers any incidents with respect to the dog. Or your insurance policy is rated, you know. But that's his position. And it's interesting that this individual would come up with this idea, because this, and as he states, this clever idea has been buzzing around the internet for the past few days, and it's been picking up endorsements from like the New York University, The Economist, and other interesting people, even people on the far right, the conservatives. And the thinking is that insurance would make gun ownership more expensive and a hassle, which would discourage some people from buying weapons or at least acquiring huge arsenals. Well, you know, what this author fails to take into account is the Second Amendment, the registration, the monitoring of the weapons outside of the law-abiding, you know, once you meet that law-abiding citizen aspect where you are permitted to legally own a firearm, that is the start and the finish of it, end of the story. And this gentleman says, well, let's talk about insurance. Watch for these kinds of ideas to be accepted by the conservative crowd as an effort to make peace or to comply. Because, see, it's as I said earlier, it's all about compliance. Because if you don't comply, or if you complain, or if you're antagonistic toward any type of solution, then you endorse the shooting of 6 and 7 year old children. You're the bad guy.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about. It's about conditioning.
That's exactly right. And that's what we've been saying the whole time. With that, we are going to move on to phone calls here. Sheila, thanks for your patience. We're going to go to Sheila, then 704. Sheila, you're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hi, guys.
Hello. How are you tonight, Sheila?
I did not. I usually get on here and look at the news and all before y'all come on, but I didn't tonight. And I was on here looking for wind-up, you know, radios with your flashlight in it, like you was talking about last night, Doug.
Yes.
Remember you said something about that?
I remember. I do.
Those crank radios with the flashlights and all. Well, I thought about that, and I got online, and I spent all afternoon trying to find one. There was a lot of them. You couldn't get them. And so I finally found that. I found that, and then I was going to go to flashlights, but then it was time for you to come on, so I hurried up and got on here, and I was listening to you talking about Civil War breaking out and whatnot, and I said, well, I ain't even been on here today to see what's even going on. So right away I thought about getting a tear gas gun. So I listened to you with my headphones on my computer, and I flipped you over on the telephone and turned my computer off and back on and went to a site. And I found a tear gas gun, but I didn't look at who had the site until after I saw what I wanted, and it's called Cyber Infidelity Scanner. And I went back and looked at the name, and I'm thinking, and I see this thing up there, and it says, is your husband cheating on you? And I'm like, what? So evidently...
Well, Okay, now, Sheila, let me tell you something. Okay, those ads, because those ads are rotating ads that are probably have nothing to do with the website whatsoever. They just, like we do, we put ads on in an attempt to offset the most basic, you know, the most basic of, you know, the pennies that they pay. It's kind of like a method to offset the cost of the maintaining the website. But so don't worry about that.
Oh, okay. so right. It would be okay to do that.
What, cheat on your husband? No, I'm just kidding. No, it has nothing to do with the website.
Well, yeah, leave me to find out or find a wacky website, but I thought, well, tear gas guns, they're nothing. You know?
Well, you know what? You can actually, and I had a couple of questions on, or a couple of people asked us questions about this. The mace and hot pepper spray and tear gas guns, they're totally different items, by the way. They're effective in a pinch. The tear gas guns are a little bit more difficult because I would go, Sheila, if it's personal protection, I would go with a stun gun or a better quality stun gun or a taser gun. If it's legal in your state, I would do that. If not, I would go with, or if it's an issue of money, I would go with a pepper or mace spray. A tear gas gun would, unless you're planning on dispersing some crowds.
Let me tell you, I've sprayed tear gas down my own throat before. It's not a fun experience.
It hurts.
Yeah. The other night I had a tear gas gun and I carried it with me, remember? And it was a good thing I did because the guy only knew I had a gun in my hand. He just didn't know what kind, you know, and I figured it saved my butt then. But this, a stun gun, don't they have to get pretty close to you in order for you to zing them?
You can actually purchase guns. And yep. Folks, I would urge you to search this out. You can actually purchase taser guns. They actually shoot probes like the police guns do. That are you have to check the legality of ownership, but they actually shoot like 12-foot tasers out. They have a little laser light on them. It looks like a regular gun, and then if you take the cartridge off of the front, it acts as a regular stun gun that. Up close and personal, you could use.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, but
yeah,
you can just search.
That out.
Search for M26, M like Mary 26 Taser, TASER.
I hear him over there chuckling.
I'm chuckling because of the taser. I know we have we found. I don't remember how long ago, but. We looked the thing up, and it was super powerful. We thought it was just some junky, you know, half a kid's toy. This thing could put down an elephant, from what we understand. That's what I was laughing at.
Yeah.
Is there anything else,
know.
Sheila?
No, that was
tonight?
Pretty much it. I just thought... In fact, I was scared to even go on there and look, because I don't really trust Google.
Well, you can use Bing, B-I-N-G. Bing search engine is actually, we found Bing to be more, bring more results than Google in terms of things, items like that. So, and check eBay, too, as well. Just buy from a reputable dealer.
Okay.
All right. God bless
you. All
right.
Well, you guys have a good night.
You too.
You too.
And folks, I just want to say this because we're at the, or almost at the top of the hour. Just picture this, and I've told the story before, but my partner, who is now deceased, and I were driving in a vehicle. We were coming back from New York, and we were on Interstate 90. And at the time, we had a vehicle with one of the center consoles, and we had just purchased. We had just gone into one of the rest stops to buy coffee, and. We bought a coffee and brought them out. Now, this is in a car. This is a long time ago. The cars didn't have the car I had didn't have the real good coffee holders. And the coffee holder that I had was actually broken anyway, so we had it duct taped up and stuff. But so anyway, my partner, his name was Chuck, and God bless him, he's passed away, but he had reached into the center console to pick out what he thought was I think he thought it was like my wife's lipstick or something, but it was actually one of those pepper spray thing, canisters. And this is in the old days when they didn't have the contraptions where, you know, where there were protections on the top. And I mean, there were, but, you know, they weren't the best. And this was a pretty cheap little pepper spray canister. So he, what he did was he, to hold the coffee thing up, he put that in the, between the console and the cup holder to hold it up. Well, what he didn't know was the weight of the cup holder actually was depressing the trigger or the trigger mechanism on the pepper spray. So we're driving down the road, and the car is filling up with this fumes, and our eyes are watering, and it took like maybe, oh, I don't know, half a mile. And if you can imagine, now if you were driving down 90 and you saw two guys in a car on the side of the road, the car's off the road, and two guys rolling on the ground, grabbing their faces, okay, that would have been us back in like 1997 or so, because we did hit a bump, and that did really send a spray out inside a closed car in the wintertime. And, oh, my goodness, we maced ourselves. Silly.
One other note of advice, never light a flare in a moving car.
Yeah. Do we really need to get into that one?
Well,
holy
that's
cow.
That's something that came to my mind while you were talking about your story.
Yeah. But
and you can imagine I was not smart at the time, but I did do that. And let me tell you something. If you were wearing new clothes at the time, they were destroyed after you were done with that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like something on a Tommy Boy, you know. I mean, really, okay. You just, and
I'm just saying the truth. That's really,
and you know what, folks,
that's happened before.
We talk about like heavy stuff, but sometimes you just have to take your, you know, you have to laugh at yourselves, and you can't take yourselves too seriously because things do happen, and it's just, you think back and think, holy cow, what was I thinking? So,
well, let's go to a break here and take an early break. We'll come back with the rest of the callers on hold, as we have a, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And if you guys want to call in, definitely do so at 661-244-9839. That is 661-244-9839. We'll be back after these short messages for hour number 3 of the Hagman and Hagman Thursday, December 27th, 2000.
You think hot coffee is bad between your legs, yet I have a flare.
If you are stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a Horologium Nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com. Please take my word for it. Go to the website, but give yourself a lot of time because you're not going to want to leave 4physics.com.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Doug Hagman, one guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Welcome back, folks, to a special Thursday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. This is a live broadcast. It is December 27th, 2012. Just a few days left in the year 2012. And 2013 certainly is shaping up to be a year for the record books, the upcoming year, that is, in advance. I can say that. Let's go back to the phones. Joe 704, I believe, is up.
Yep, 704. We're coming to you now. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
704, you're up. We can hear you in the background. 704, we're going to give you one last chance. It's up. You're up and live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. All right, we're going to put you back on hold.
You know, that number has had that problem many times. I wonder if there's a problem with the phone system there. So, caller, if you... try to get a new phone or call from a different line to see if something's up with your phone.
Or,
we're going to go to 484.
484.
You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, guys. 484. How are you doing this evening? Hope you guys are doing well.
We're doing well. Thanks for your call. What's up?
Good. I've called you guys a couple of different times. Just had a few points that have come across my desk, so to speak, in the last day or so, which seemed to be red flags for me. An extremely reliable source has told me recently, this reliable source is a government employee, that they're about to furlough 50,000 Department of Defense and Homeland Security workers. They didn't get specific on which ones were going, but this person works in the department where they would know that that's going to happen. So take it for what it's worth. Why at this particular time they would do this, it would be within the first couple of months of next year that this is going to happen, so probably between January and the end of February.
We got an article yesterday. I don't know if this will help you. We read an article yesterday where they are getting ready to deploy troops into 35 African countries. That was a report from Russia Today from yesterday. And I'm not sure if that ties into anything that what you're talking about, because I did not see any references to DHS. But they are sending military personnel over.
Yeah, I think he's talking about actually furloughing or actually letting loose a number of military DHS personnel. Giving them leave, if you will.
I would say that.
Right?
I would say that they were military civilian, Department of the Military or Department of Defense.
Okay.
Not military, but Department of Defense. workers that would be like, civilians. That would be my guess.
Okay.
I don't know. Having been prior military doesn't make sense to me. But if they're going to deploy 35,000 troops, or they're going to deploy troops into 35 countries, or however that decides that it's going to fold, just imagine the logistics of how long it would take you to recall those troops to bring them back here in the event of a civil war. Even if those troops wanted to come back on their own and they had a collective of several hundred people and could get a big airplane and they wanted to get back here, it would still take them a long time to get back here with all of the, what is it, over 400,000, according to Steve Quayle, of foreign troops on our soil, all the Russian troops that are at the various bases, the Chinese troops in Mexico, all those people all over poised and ready to go for the martial law that's about to come when they do this gun grab thing. So that doesn't surprise me that they're going to deploy troops thinner, because the logistics is what I would look at.
That's a good point.
The other point that I wanted to bring up is this person is related to a state trooper, retired state trooper in the state of Pennsylvania, who has put out to his family, start getting guns, get them now, get them fast, get as much ammo as you can get, and get ready to hunker down. Now, I personally do not know the state trooper. I understand he's a fairly large fella, and he's a very difficult person to get along with, as some of the state troopers I've run into. but he's not the typical family person, but he's been putting this information out to his family. Not only his personal family, but his extended family. You know, his
brothers. Yeah, okay, caller, let me ask you this. We're based in northwestern Pennsylvania. Do you know where in Pennsylvania that trooper is from?
He's from eastern Pennsylvania.
All right.
I would say, Philly. Not to give it away, but he was a state trooper in the eastern part between, let's say, Philadelphia and Interstate 80. And east of 81. So in the eastern side.
That's a big area, so you're not giving anything away. That's a huge area.
Well, and, you know, again, take it for what it's worth. If you're not prepared by now, I think if you're just waking up, you have got just a very limited amount of time to get your act together or find somebody else that has their act together and see what you can do to help them. Help you if you have questions. I mean, research the information. It's all going into high gear. And, you know, I heard you earlier today, Doug, on Alex Jones. I think it was today. That was the show I was listening to. And I agree with both of you that they are just pulling the stops out and things are happening real fast. My source and I were talking about, there's going to be too many people hiding guns, this and the other. So, well, first of all, they're coming for the people, not the guns. They don't care about the guns. That's why they're not worried about the millions that have been sold. They're going to come for the people. They have a list of the people. And if there are groups or communities, like, say, holy communities, this isn't just my opinion, of people that gather together, I'm thinking that they're going to yard farm. They'll send the Air Force over. If the Air Force says, we're not going to do it, remember that they've got these new facilities, the NSA facilities, that do all the data mining of the computers and all the rest of that stuff, that may or may not be able to talk to these automated autonomous drones. You know, having prior military service, if you've never seen the size of a 2,000-pound bomb, when they put a JDAM package on it, it can hit something within 4 feet. You know, it can go through a 4-foot window. 2,000-pound bomb's about 18 inches in diameter. So it's not something that I would take off the table personally. And I've just to kind of recap some of the things that I learned in my life, I went onto YouTube and looked at some of the military footage that came back from Iraq and Afghanistan about tactics and how they would employ helicopters to take out insurgents and things, and watch how they would fire one Hellfire missile to take out one guy. And just the devastation of the area around that one guy, there was absolutely no survivability out of that, period. In the middle of nowhere. So you didn't see much of him left. There was one other point that I wanted to
if I could ask you this, okay, because I've got questions about this. Would the military, I mean, could you see a time where the military would do that in our country? And use a Hellfire missile against a dissident, a political dissident, if you will? I mean, is that, from a military perspective, is that possible?
I think it's how they're labeled, how the target is labeled. When you're flying a drone and you're thousands of miles away or 100 miles away, yeah, you know the area that you're over, but you don't know who that is. You know, it might sound like it's Americans, and the way that I went through the military, we had to be fired on. Our ROE was you had to be fired on before you could return fire. And I thought, well, I hope they don't shoot me first. But at the same time, these days they have a whole different way of training. And then, you know, you've got the super soldier program and RV. And you can just go on down the list of all kinds of different influences that the new military has. And keep in mind, if they refuse, that's okay. Then they start employing, then the powers that be or that are doing this, we'll start employing different tactics, in my mind, that they're going to start just going automation. Because the drone doesn't care. The drone, you know, if it flies over an area and picks up the hot signature of one or two people, it doesn't care. You know, and
right.
It's big enough and it's loaded with the right kind of ammunition, or it's got a Hellfire, a JDAM, or, you know, some other, you know, 30mm or something, and it might get the right signal. They might put out, transmit the right signal that just, to their master computer that says over this area nothing survives, and it'll go in there and kill anything with a hot signature. That's just an opinion of mine, and I know that this is really going to sound screwy, but if I were going to try and do something like this, if it were me thinking about it, that's what I would probably do, because I know people are going to say I'm not going to do this. I swore an oath. I swore that oath probably 7 times, and anybody to me that has sworn the oath that is going to pull a trigger on somebody in the United States, and they've heard this kind of news and rhetoric and stuff, especially returning veterans, you know, that they're terrorists. Well, you know, I can honestly say I agree that to a point that the returning veterans that are battle hardened are definitely a threat to somebody who's trying to throw over the country. You bet. I would be. You're going to try and overthrow my country? Even from within, you're going to bet your boots I'm going to be a threat to you. And I know how you act. I know what your tactics are. I know where you stand. I know how your guys shoot. I know everything about your entire operation. Yes, sir, I am definitely a threat. Because you know that I've returned from over there, and, yeah, I've been stuck with all these kinds of drugs, and I'm starting to wake up. And I'm finding all these things out that are happening really bad that shouldn't be. You're taking my rights away. Just because I'm a veteran, just because I've, you know, got PTSD, you know, because the government does X and they don't want to support it or whatever, and get on that whole soapbox. And I have a lot of respect for these guys, you know, the Oath Keepers, the people that come back and they join organizations like that to help other people, Wounded Warriors and all that kind of stuff. And then you have a government that doesn't support its own people. Yeah, I can understand why they're running scared. And you know, is this going to be the proverbial grenade over the shoulder thing as they're running on their way out? I don't know. Based on what I'm seeing, based on what I'm hearing, certainly information from you guys, certainly information from Steve Quayle, and, you know, you can just go down the list of guys who are on the radio shows, but just keeping my heads up and listening to people and watching the skies, you know, watching everything going on, and, you know, this tragic shooting with these kids, you know, to start undermining the Second Amendment, you know, I think it definitely would have been different had there been a gun in the hands of one of his teachers with a little bit of training, which is a caveat into my final thing, and I'll let you guys get on to somebody else, was that I watched a CBS video recently where they did a simulated school shooting of a college group, and they had several people that let practice with play guns. They were paint guns. And then they had someone step into the classroom. This classroom had these people in it, and there were a bunch of students in there. One person was armed.
I saw that.
And,
yes.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I used to be a firearms instructor, and I could outshoot anybody. Okay. Well, the guys that went into Columbine, this guy that went into this school up in Sandy Hook, Major Hassan, some of those other shootings that you hear about, those people are not firearms instructors. They don't go down to the range every single day. They don't shoot in competitions. They don't shoot to kill every single day. They don't know the tactics and different ways and different styles of shooting. The guy that was the instructor, the firearms instructor, and it was actually Bethlehem Police Department that they used, he was the guy that was going in the room shooting people. Well, yeah, he's going to be a lot accurate shot. You know, and what did they do? They dressed the kid that had the gun in a shirt that covered the gun so he couldn't get at it. And he couldn't practice it. You know, he couldn't get to practice the drawing and stuff. And it's like, well, there was only one guy in the room. Okay, let's turn that around. Give one of the students the gun, tell him he's going to go into the room and arm almost everybody in the room. I would bet you that that is going to change. The amount of deaths in that room would change drastically.
You're right. The dynamics
extremely skewed, and I thought it was, you know, it was an interesting view. And I'm ashamed of the Bethlehem Police Department. They would even go into that. You know, cops don't worry about people that are law abiding. And if they were that tough, honestly, if you're that tough a cop, why don't you go downtown Bethlehem? Why don't you go downtown Allentown? Why don't you go into Philadelphia? Why don't you go into the bad parts of town? Take the guns away from those people. Take away from the people that are felons that have gotten out of prison and gotten them illegally. Go find those people. Why don't you start there first before you come take the guns away from the law-abiding citizens? So,
Carl, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Somebody in our chat room wants me to ask you about IFF, Interrogate Friend or Foe Transponder.
Interrogate Friend or Foe. It's using an electronics device that's either hand-carried. I don't know. I've been out in the military for a while. Usually it's on aircraft, vehicles, bigger stuff because it's an electronic thing. Most of the time now, unless the electronics have gotten smaller, IFF has gotten down for foot troops was the strobe, the infrared strobe. And that could be seen by certain optics equipment during the day as well as nighttime. But it would give off a ping, basically a light flash that would identify a group of guys. These guys are okay. If they've gotten the electronics down, and I think they were working on that to where you'd be a radio-sized transmitter, basically, that would transmit a signal. And that signal is determined by the reception of, say, for instance, an incoming aircraft or an incoming fighter bomber or something of that nature, even if you have AWACS flying over or somebody like that that's doing air command from the air. They would interpret that as you're a friend, and if you're squawking, which is what they call it, the common terminology, if you're not squawking the right signal, then you're not friendly, then you're a foe. So it's a radio signal, it's a radio transmitter, and it's
okay.
It's coded. Each one is coded, and if there's if you have an aircraft that goes down in a bad part of town, and somebody takes its IFF gear out. They know what the airplane is. They know where it went down. Every now and then they'll lose them. Well, at least they used to say they lost them. I think they turn them over on purpose, frankly, because there's certain technology they want them to get. And if I was going to do a Trojan horse kind of thing, I would certainly want you to get that. It's because
like
I know what you're going to
say. Cell phone towers. These transponders that we see across the towns, whether they're cell phone towers or other means of transporting information, whether it be sound or video. Here's an article. Churches increasingly rent out steeples as cell phone towers. We also have, even in our local area, them putting up these cameras all over major intersections that have just these little tiny cameras halfway up the pole, and then they have like these just panels on the top, like it looks like they can transmit sound. Are these devices, can these cell towers and other devices be used as part of these IFF mechanisms?
Well, if you used as part of IFF, I don't know that it would be used as IFF. Certainly. It's the big square box at the top is an antenna. It's got a coil of some type in there and is designed to transmit a signal. It's designed to be used to transmit a signal on a certain frequency wavelength. Now, depending on the transmitter itself, that antenna has to be tuned for that frequency. So if you're transmitting video and all that, you hear a lot about bandwidth and wavelengths and all that kind of stuff about what you see for the internet. It's kind of the same thing with that wire. So as far as IFF, I don't know if, you know, under what reason would you want a particular street corner, unless you were saying, you know, I want to J-down that street corner, you know, drop a joint munitions, a 2,000-pound bomb on a street corner to take out a group of insurgents, so to speak. I don't know if that's what you would do. I mean, the cell tower itself, just giving off the cellular signal, every cell tower knows where that location would be. But, you know, as far as military use on a stationary IFF object, I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Nonetheless, interesting technical knowledge and a good source, being former military. By the way, thank you for your service. But there are ways. There are ways.
Oh, yeah.
United States. Yeah. And that's what people really need to get.
You always hear about they have this satellite that'll take a picture of a license plate and you can read a name tag from 20,000 feet. Yeah, they probably have I'd maybe even say 100 of them up there. Well, just think about the tasking of where they would have to put those in order to see, you know, me or you or Joe individually somewhere. And, you know, I can't think that I'm that profile, that high of a profile target. I'm going to be the guy that they'll SWAT team in the middle of the night and not even really know who I am. They'll just say, well, you know, this guy's on the list or he's next or his address came up in, you know, whatever.
Right.
So when you get down to certain things, you have to look at the logic. And it's if the riots don't go quite the way they want them to in Philadelphia, if they're not getting enough going on, they're going to do something there. There's going to be more school shootings. As much as I hate to even think that they're going to target children again, if I say that just sparingly, if they don't see the anti-gun rhetoric pick up fast enough and hard enough, or if they see the pro-guns rhetoric get higher and get tougher and they start seeing some wobbling in there, I'm thinking they're going to go for, you know, a school bus or something, some place where children would congregate, or a big mall. So it's going to be a lot of kids, and I think that they're going to want to be spectacular.
How about this? How about this? You know, because obviously you've got the planning and or you've got the knowledge and planning and tactical operations. How about a higher profile target rather than children, perhaps someone in government?
Well, you know, I thought I'd look at that, but you got a lot of bounce out of these children. So a high profile,
yeah,
target, absolutely. If you went as high as, oh, maybe the top or somebody close to the top and they were a person of color, absolutely. I could see if they were a high profile, you know, pick one of the faces, one of the talking heads that you see on TV that's a person of color, just to get that side, because, you know, maybe one side's more restrained than the other, so you have to go after that person. You know, they're calling for LaPierre's head. I don't think he's a high enough profile target personally to get the pro-gunners to do anything. I think we're too level-headed, because most people that own firearms, in my opinion, And certainly my experience, are lower level-headed, more level-headed, because they realize their responsibility behind it. You know, you don't just fly off the handle. You've got to be more responsible because of the potential that you can destroy. So it's going to need to be from a different side, whether it be, you know, pick one ethnic group over another one. You know, Steve Quayle always keeps saying about ethnos against ethnos, and I absolutely see that one coming. You know, I wouldn't put that past him at all. You know, and certainly if there's anybody out there listening that has children, I have a child, and she's fortunately no longer of that age. She's an adult. But if there were any words that I could ever offer anybody that has lost a child for any reason. And I know how that would tug at your heartstrings, because I've had family members that have had this. And the only thing I can think of that keeps me going every day is that heaven would be an awfully crappy place without children.
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right. Caller, thank you. God bless you, my friend.
What up, Treasure Trove of Information? And we really appreciate it here on the Hagman and Hagman Report. God bless. Have a great night.
Fantastic. Right, fantastic caller. Good night, sir. You know, Joe, I just think that the callers have all of our callers are great, but
yeah,
you know, as we grow, yeah, we will. And as we grow, though, the amount of information that's shared. I mean, think about the technical information that was shared just now. But
yeah,
go ahead.
Area code 808. Thank you for your patience. You've been on hold almost an hour. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello. Hello.
Yes. What's on your?
Brother
yes.
Joe?
What's up? You're
hey,
you're up
Doug. Here. Hi. Hi. I'm a first time caller. And I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for all that you guys do. Whether it's, I guess I want to say more of the smaller things that maybe we don't realize behind the scenes, the sacrifice, the commitment, the studying, all of the small things that you guys do to share this information with us. I just wanted to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I'm calling and I wanted to, I guess, maybe be an encouragement, maybe shed some light on what you guys have been discussing. That's the issue of preparation. And I know a lot of the callers, and even for both of you, I can kind of hear it from your heart on the idea of how big the idea of preparation is. From the spiritual aspect, from the physical, and even to our mental aspect. I guess for me, some of the struggles that I go through, whether it's with my family, with my coworkers, with my friends, I guess what really strikes my heart is the fact that maybe they're not really wanting to hear what I'm telling them, but it's not really wanting to hear the message that God has, whether it's through me, whether it's through both of you, Brother Quayle, or whoever may stand in the wall and preach the message or share the message. And the reason why I say that is because I can hear it from people's heart, the struggle that they go through, that we go through to remain faithful to God, to remain faithful to His Word. And part of that faithfulness, you know, you take your beatings, I guess, if you will.
Sure.
And I guess for me, the two principles that I have to really lean on from God's Word is, it's found in Matthew chapter 24. And it's verse 42 and 44. And I believe the two greatest principles that Jesus gave us for this end time, or shall we say for His second coming, is to watch and to be ready. And the reason why I take that so clear to my heart to help me go through these things, whether people want to hear me or not, whether they want to listen to you folks or any prominent person proclaiming the gospel is still the gospel. Whether, you know, somebody else says something differently, God's word never did change. His principles never did change. And so I think it's really important for us to really understand to watch and to be ready, because if you really understand that from verse 1 to 41 of chapter 24, those are the things we ought to watch for that Jesus shared with us. And then when we get to verse 44, the reason to watch is because each and every one of us are going to have to respond, you know. We're going to have to respond to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I don't know, I just can hear the passion from Brother Steve Quell's heart, from his voice, from his life. You can just hear it. I can hear it when I hear you share a lot, Joel, you know, about talking with your family, talking with your wife, talking with your friends. Sometimes, yeah, it is a hard thing, but just to know and to understand what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing, it's not, you know, I've heard you guys say this before, it's not for you guys to look good, or for you guys to, I guess, receive extra donations, but it's because it's what the truth is. And because God's word is the truth, for you, both of you men of God, to stand up and to continually, day after day after day, share with us the principles from God's word. That I totally have to respect, and I totally have to tell you guys, you know, humbly, thank you. Thank you for doing this.
I want to thank you.
Well, yeah, we're humbled. Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to say, you know, for listening and for calling in and sharing what you just did share with us, you are a brother in Christ with us in this fight, you know, right here in this studio, with your heart, and I can hear it in your voice. You seem very sincere, and you know, just God bless you for calling in and sharing your positive experience with listening to the show, with maybe interacting with the chat room. I'm not sure if that's something you do, and hearing from others, like you said, listening to the Gospels, whether it's from Steve Quayle or Henry Gruber or whoever it may be, the words never change, and we need to keep it that way, and the message must not change either. And you have a great spirit, caller, and we just can't thank you enough for being a part of our show.
Joe, I guess from my heart, I have to share this because, you know, it's not a good feeling to be rejected by your family, by your friends, by your coworkers, because you want to share the truth. You have a passion and a desire to lead them to what the truth is, which is what is God's word. But even though those things come, those feelings exist, it doesn't change what the truth is. And for me, I guess if you read Matthew 24, one of the greatest examples that Jesus, that I believe Jesus gave us, was the life of Noah. Yeah? You know how it says that, I'm just going to paraphrase it here. He says that at the day of his second coming, it's going to be like the days of Noah. And if you understand the days of Noah, you understand the mindset, the heart of how the people were. And if you look at how the world is today, whether it's here in America or like the sister that calls from France, you can see the lifestyle of how we leave, completely turn our backs away from God. And that brought on the destruction, which was the flood, yeah? That was the event that had happened. But for this one, it's the second coming of Jesus. And it's, you know, I mean, I can only imagine what Noah had to go through, that process of his life to understand what change is, to understand his commitment to God, to understand his loyalty to God, even though all of those people might have rebuked him, might have, didn't want to listen to him, or whatever the case may be. But I think for Noah to be so faithful and so committed to God, so connected to God, to continually do what he did, even though it was, maybe over 100-something years to build the ark and to prepare the animals, to prepare his family, to prepare the food, all of these things that Noah had to go through. It was a process that he had to go through. That's why I truly believe that, like how your people say or the callers say, when people bury their heads in the sand, how can you watch? How can you know what's happening? How will we be ready to respond with what the truth is if we're not watching, if we're not ready to share the truth? Because that's all we have. That's all we have left.
You're absolutely right, okay? And we run across this constantly. I'll just cite Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 6, that says, "But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes a person from them, then he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand." Now, if you know, for example, a danger is coming to others, and you deliberately fail to warn others of the danger, then you yourself are guilty of harming the victims. But, caller, this is not to say that you can make people heed your warning, and we deal with this all the time. If people refuse to listen and want to adhere to the normalcy bias, the blood is not going to be on the hands of the watchman. We are so frustrated. And I know that we want to help and save and be truthful to everybody and say, look, this is coming, and please listen. And you mentioned about Noah, I can only imagine in my heart how he must have felt, when people rebuffed him and said, "Oh, you're nuts, you're crazy, what are you doing? Being a loony bin." But caller, if you, in your position, whatever that might be, in your family, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that's just attempting to with patience and love, understanding, kindness, and if you're talking to other people and saying, "Look, this is what I believe. This is what people are saying. This is what looks like it's coming down here," then you've done your job. And I think at some point, though, as I've said, and Joe and I talk about this all the time, they're going to be coming to you. They're going to be coming to you for answers. Mm-hmm. So you're an important part of the equation, caller. You are right now are a very important part of the equation. And don't stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah. In God's word, he says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And, like I said, I truly believe that's really what we have left, is God's word and
yes,
and what the truth is, And whether they want to listen to, like I said, myself or their pastor or even you folks or even as prominent as Brother Steve Quayle or, all of these wonderful men. I guess, like I said, what really pricks my heart is you can reject all I'm saying. That's fine. But please don't reject what God's saying. Because there just may not be another chance, And like you said, you're right. I just wanted to call and to share, I guess, more on a personal level that we kind of all can understand. We all are going through, you know, on that personal side. And I just want to encourage everyone to remain faithful, stay the course, stay true to God and to God's word, because only God will bless you. Even though
That's
they
right.
rip you apart, where, you know, whatever you go through, God will bless. And so thank you again for allowing me to share, and thank you for all you do, and have a wonderful night.
Thank you, and aloha.
Yeah.
Aloha, indeed.
See you guys later. Thank you.
All the way from Hawaii.
Have a great night, and God bless, my friend.
That's great. And, you know, Joe, the watchman passage, you know, it's our duty as watchmen to see, or if we see the danger coming and we don't warn others, then, and the people aren't warned for our lack of warning, then the blood is on our hands.
Yeah.
It's
a responsibility to do what we do, not only to tell people what's going on in the world, but also the bigger responsibility is the sound doctrine part.
Yes.
We can sit here and quote scripture all day, but if we do it out of context, we are hurting our eternal soul on a level that we don't even want to imagine. That's why we have to keep sound doctrine. That is why we cannot waver. That is why the message cannot change between pastor to guest to theologian to whoever may be speaking on scripture.
You know, it's not the doctrine of man, is it? It's the doctrine of God.
Correct.
And see, man perverts and pollutes the word. And, you know, that's why we have to be so careful when we listen to people. You go back to the source. You go back to the scripture. You go back to the, you get it. It's kind of like somebody trying to fix a car, and somebody's got an instruction book and they're reading it, you know, and the other person is, that's a bad analogy, but just go to the source.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to the source.
We're going to try to squeeze in a few more calls here. We're going to go to Vernon, then go to Jason. Vernon, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thank you for holding.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I truly appreciate it, gentlemen. I just want to say one little thing, because a lot of times we be talking, and we be talking about the events that's going on throughout our society, but we fail to explain something to those, to the body of Christ, we know. And we know why we do what we do, okay? But for those out there who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we only try to explain to you that events are going to happen. And when they do, you have a refuge should you decide to take it. Now, you heard a lot of people, you know, you hear everybody talking about what's happening with the shooting and what's happening within the world. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is that the Lord Jesus Christ is so soon to come, and the events that are taking place are just leading up to that. And one thing about it, we try to tell you because we know one thing. If we bypass the 7-year tribulation, and we look past the 1,000 years and go straight to the day of judgment, Doug, you know, like, if I was to stand in court, in a courtroom, and the judge is, you know, the charges are being read off, there is no such thing as ignorance of law. I cannot tell God I did not know, because God is going, your whole life is going to flash before you. And the watchmen, the Hagmans, Pastor Paul Bagley, and all the others have been telling you.
And Vernon.
I hear you. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I mean you.
Yeah.
No, you.
Oh,
you're
yeah,
a watchman too.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know,
I'm adding you to the list. Yes.
Oh, I appreciate it, but you know, we're only trying to tell you because we have a burning passion for your eternal life, your eternal soul. This thing that is called salvation is real. God is real. Jesus is real. And the day is going to come when you stand before the Almighty and you're going to only hear one or two things. Either, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, you doer of iniquity, I never knew you. So we're trying to tell you the signs that we tell you about. That's what it is, just a sign of the incoming of the groom coming back for the bride, Jesus coming back for the believer in him. And it's just a free gift that the Heavenly Father gave all of us. But if you decide to say no to him, understand what you're saying no to. You're not saying no to the Hagmans. You're not saying no to Pastor Paul Bagley. You're not saying no to all the watchmen. You're saying no to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your eternal salvation, who took your place on the cross.
Yes.
That's who you're saying
right
no
on.
And when you say no to him, Christ said, if you're ashamed of me before men, then I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. And you don't want Jesus Christ to turn his back on you when it comes down to the judgment. Because just like in a court of law today, just like
that's
in a court of law, I can't stand before a judge and say, I didn't know. Because the judge is going to say, ignorance of the law is no excuse. But in the case of the Heavenly Father, your whole life is going to flash before you. Every word that the Hagman said, every word that the Pastor Bagley said, all the prophets, all the ministers, all the teachers, and all the believers, every word is going to pass right before your very eyes in a flash. And it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late.
Yeah. Would you rather spend your life on earth as a slave and your eternal life in heaven, or would you rather spend your life on earth, you know, rich, fat, and happy, with godlessness, and your eternal life in hell? Really, those are the two choices. And when I say slave, I don't mean being a slave to the Lord or for the Lord. I mean, you know, would you rather do everything you can in your power? We all have stumbling blocks. We all backslide, as Steve likes to say. We all make mistakes. The key is to have the ability to move on from those mistakes and get away from that guilt and shame. And I want to thank Mary Ann. She said a prayer with me earlier about this, and it really touched me. And our eternal soul has a resting place. Where do you want yours to be? That's the question that needs to be asked every day.
Right. And, you know, the way I like to say it, Joe, too, is this, on two levels. One, to the sinner, to the one who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one difference between us. I'm a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace because I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. I was born into sin. I'm in a body of sin. Now, that's not to say I wallow in sin, but I am a sinner saved by grace. And the only difference is because I recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all you have to do. You have to come to the recognition that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. The other thing I like to say, Joe, is this. This here, this earth here, and all that goes on this earth, this is not my home. I'm only passing through. I just lost a friend this past week. And I like to say that he passed his test. He went home to be with the Lord. I have yet to pass that test and hear the words, well done, and thou good and faithful servant. But we're just passing through. If I live to be 130 years old, that's a speck of time frame to all eternity. So you have a choice.
Yes, sir.
You have a choice to make. What God are you going to serve? A God of eternal life or a God that's going to lead you to eternal damnation? And it's real. Hell is not a fantasy on some YouTube or some sci-fi movie, okay? It's a real place.
It's not a scare tactic.
Okay? So you have a choice. God is not sending you there. You choose to go there. He did not make hell for man. He made hell for Satan and his dominion, his minions. Man chooses to go to hell by denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And on
Vernon, can you
on that
tell us your show and when it airs for our listeners out there?
Well, I'll put it into the chat room, but it does come on every Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we were talking about the a little bit about the gun laws, but you mentioned something on the day, and I had to ask the question, you know, how is it a man walks into any place, school, restaurant, wherever, bent on doing whatever damage he's going to do, and bent on suicide after he committed his crime, but he's wearing a bulletproof vest?
I thought about that, Vernon. The only answer I can come up with is so he doesn't get killed before he accomplishes his goal. But,
you know,
it is a good question.
Yeah, it's just too many. That's not the only thing, though. There's too many ironies in here on this particular issue. And if that was the only issue, I would have to go along with what you just said. But we got too many questions that went unanswered.
All right. There are a lot of questions that need answered. And, you know, the moment that you step into the arena to ask the questions, you're immediately going to be labeled a kook and sensitive. See, Vernon, this is part of the conditioning process that I was referencing earlier.
Right.
And we have to understand what is happening out here. See, we've been living a lie. We've been exposed to a lie ever since birth, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been conditioned ever since birth. But now that more people are starting to wake up and realize the depth and breadth and scope of the lies that have been perpetuated upon them, now the anger is going to start to build. And this is where we reach critical mass at this point. So you're right. I mean, now we intend, and we are in the process of putting together a report on Newtown with all the different issues. So look for that in the future. But Vernon, thank you. God bless you, my friend.
I just got two more things, Doug, real quick. One, a few days ago you mentioned getting all the talk show hosts together. I would like to do that in the conference room and, just have some dialogue and see where it goes from there. And the other thing is I'm going to put another link. I'm going to put the second link in the room to a Jesse Ventura film where he was talking about mind control, talking to individuals. And that might have a little bearing on it as well. All right. So I'm going to put those two links in the room.
All right. All right. Okay. We'll talk some logistics and then we'll go from there, my friend.
Exactly.
God bless you, Vernon.
God bless.
Thank you for all you do.
Family, keep looking up because the Lord Jesus Christ, He is that much closer to come. God bless all.
Amen. Right. Thank you, Vernon.
You know, I want to say, Joe, too. I've been getting a lot of emails about the Drudge Report, and I want to thank Judy McLeod and Brian and Kiko for putting it up. A lot of emails about this Civil War headline by Drudge, and a lot of emails saying, "Well, you know, looks like your information was accurate back from May." And I'm also seeing as well. I just want to point this out that there is a counter movement to that. I'm seeing at the same time postings being removed, censorship being done, And so now is the time, I think, that really things are starting to move a little bit quicker.
I agree. And that headline was startling. We're going to get to one more call. Jason just wants to say a quick word before we end the show, because we are at the end of the show already, as the 3 hours went by so fast. Jason, thank you for holding. You're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
And thank you for having me on, guys. I just want to say this really quick. Me and Phil last night on Revelation News Radio had on Mr. Greg Evenson. And in the first hour, he had some very powerful words to say about the Second Amendment. And you guys know me. I'm a total pacifist. But I'm going to play you a little sound effect right now, and I hope you hear it. If they come to take them, they're going to start a civil war.
Sounds like somebody has an automatic or semi-automatic.
That's
if,
a Glock.
If I heard that. Okay,
that's
a Glock. All right.
And they better not come and take them, because it's not me. I'm not saying this from my standpoint. You know me, Doug. I'm a pacifist hippie. But if they do this, they're going to start a civil war. That's all I'm going to say, guys. God bless you. God bless you for everything you do. The Lord Jesus, please come, please, because the blood will be in the streets if this happens. God bless, guys. Good night.
God bless you, Jason, and you keep up the good work doing your show, Revelation News Radio, on Blog Talk Radio. And Vernon has his conspiracy files on Blog Talk Radio also, and we do need to get together. We do need like-minded people to gather in this storm that we face, and we need to gather under the umbrella of the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't want to get under that umbrella, then we will pray for you until you do come under there with us.
You know, Joe, in closing, I just want to say this. I've been watching the headlines really close and watching conducting virtual surveillance, if you will, on some of the various internet forums during the course of our show. And I got to tell you something. There are so many people right now. There's people in denial, but there are other people who are ready. And but see, what bothers me about that is when they say bring it on, they've got no clue what they're asking for.
I saw one thread on a forum that said Drudge was actually calling for them. Drudge was calling for the people to start a civil war.
Right. Well,
I mean, and there's thousands of replies to this, people debating whether that was true or not.
It's
ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Well, and that's part of the, obviously, that's the name of the show tonight. All I can say is this, ladies and gentlemen.
The DHS person on the line, can you stop breathing so loud so we can talk?
It's not us. I mean, yeah, go figure.
What is that?
That.
Maybe it's Troy. Maybe DHS is just laughing in our face. NSA. Either way, God bless you too.
Yeah.
Unless it's Troy. No, I'm kidding.
No. But in closing, here is the issue. We are our government. We can't trust our government with giving us the truth on Oklahoma City, on 9/11, on Benghazi. We can't trust our government giving us the truth on the real numbers for economic for unemployment and economic problems. We can't trust the government to give us the truth on anything. And you know, they're laughing at us because the majority of Americans are either stuck on their own TV programs and not paying attention, or they are they have fallen for the lie. They're adhering to the normalcy bias. Folks, let's get out of our slumber. Let's take this time to pray and prepare. Pray in that order.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Stay safe. Have a great one.